Muted.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Trelleborg conference call. Today, I'm pleased to present Peter Nilsson, President and CEO, and Ulf Berghult, CFO. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question-and-answer session. Speakers, please begin.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Peter Nilsson speaking. Welcome to this call where we're going to address this press release that we sent out this morning with the message that we have agreed with Freudenberg that they're going to buy our shares in Trelleborg Vibroacoustic. I'm going to start with a brief introduction by myself, Peter, and also on the call. We also have Ulf Berghult, our CFO, as well as Christoffer Sjögren, our Vice President of Investor Relations. So they might also jump in later on when questions are being raised. The way we look at this is a conclusion of a journey that we started several years ago where we had then kind of a substandard global player within automotive anti-vibration. We then decided to join forces with one of our main competitors, Vibroacoustic, then owned by Freudenberg, and we decided to create a joint venture together with Freudenberg in order to develop these two companies in combination. This has been done in a good way. Profits have been increasing, and we've been also successfully integrated the businesses, extracted synergies, and we are now at the level where we feel that Trelleborg Vibroacoustic has substantially better positions than they had when we started, and they are ready for the next level. And at the same time, we have also, from a financial performance point of view, also getting very close to the targeted levels where we then, since we have been, as we have been communicating for quite some time, then we have been considering various options in order to get, let's say, the value out of this, what has been created. We just then been very much in line with our overall strategy of Trelleborg to focus on selected positions and to kind of lessen our exposure to the automotive industry. So that is kind of the overall background to this. Yeah, just a brief refresh, which probably most of you is well aware. And then looking at this, and why are we exiting it now, and why are we doing this? I mean, we're looking at this when we kind of step back. We see that the automotive industry is on high volumes in general. I mean, we have record high global manufacturing levels with very good performance, especially in Europe and North America at the moment. We also note, which is positive for sub-suppliers, there's low raw material prices in general in this industry. We know it's a cyclical industry, and we need to be aware that this is a good momentum in the industry at the moment. So that's, of course, something that we've been looking at. Of course, you know as well that we've been looking at alternative here, being that we list the company, but you as well, you're well aware of this. I mean, it's been quite a volatile market lately, which has then, of course, impacting the potential valuation in an IPO. And this is also, so this is in all, this is the way we have been looking at this. We also note that this is, even though it's been a successful cooperation with Freudenberg, and we've been running this as a 50-50 joint venture with Freudenberg, which has been very successful. But of course, long term, we know that the 50-50 joint venture is not a forever happy situation, and we also needed to address this. But so all in all, it's also this agreement, making the deal with Freudenberg is also for us kind of the simplest deal in a way. It's a clean exit. They know the operation. We know the operation. We've been working together on this for several years, and we consider this being kind of the safest exit for us in comparison to alternative exits. So this is basically the background for this. I mean, the figures is in the press release, so I don't going to go through the figures in details. And with this, I think I want to simply open up for questions and comments, unless Ulf or Christoffer has something to add at this stage.
No. Q&A.
So then we are opening up for questions. So please go ahead, and we will, of course, try to be as open as we can on this. I mean, also a final note on this, we said that this is kind of agreement in principle, and the agreement in principle is because we will have some figures to be included in this deal, which we need kind of full access to the company. And of course, we have not been involving Trelleborg Acoustics in this, so we will need 1 or 2 weeks really to sort this out before we can sign a final agreement. So that is really why we call it agreement in principle instead of a fully completed deal. We consider this being a very minor thing, but once again, we needed some input from the company in order to complete all the details here in the enclosures and everything in the contract, and that is why we do not have, let's say, a full complete signed agreement at the moment. So please, with this final comment, and please, we address questions, and we will do our best to give you good replies on those.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from Daniel Schmidt from SEB. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I was just wondering, first of all, I think you alluded, you wrote that around 10% of the price tag relates to performance. Could you give us any more details of the conditions surrounding that?
Yes. I mean, the performance here is basically only linked to sales, and it's linked to the forecasted sales, which we consider being very realistic and really any kind of overperformance in any way, but it's simply a reflection on some it's roughly 10% of the compensation, which is linked to this, which is going to be paid out then in two batches depending on the development in full year 2016 and full year 2017.
So that means 5% each after 2016 and 2017 if you look at the cash flow then for you guys?
Yes.
Does it also relate to a forecast that implies that you should be growing a bit faster than the underlying light vehicle production market?
I don't want to comment on that in detail, but as I said, I mean, the development going forward in this forecast is not as good as it's been the last few years. So we find it being, let's say, a really realistic forecast.
All right. All right. Good. Secondly, I think you said before that when it comes to the gain, there's not going to be any tax on that. Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct.
Could you just shortly describe why that is?
Yeah. Christopher, you have the reply on that question. You can maybe provide that.
It's placed in a company, and when you sell the company, it is tax-free.
Yeah. Well, it's quite simple. It's no Swedish legislation regulates this. So it's a Swedish company, and therefore, there are no tax on a company sell like this. So there's no tax planning or anything like that involved. This is very straightforward.
All right. Okay. And then just thirdly, just looking at valuations from an equity market perspective, if you would have IPO'd this, it looks like you could have received a higher multiple than the one that you're presenting today. Could you give us a bit more flavor of how sort of the discussions have been going in the past couple of months? I think Peter touched upon it in terms of the volatile market and so on, but it's also sort of if we incorporate Freudenberg being the 50% owner in this, could you give us shed some more light on this?
No, no. I mean, of course. I mean, we've been looking at various options. I mean, not only IPO, but also, of course, selling to other parties and looking at various setups. But I mean, if you look at the IPO as such, then, of course, the IPO is, first of all, linked on that you're listing the shares. And as you know, when you list the shares, you need to give some kind of discount to be able to have these, let's say, corner shareholders or core shareholders on board. hard. And I mean, looking at that and with the volatility, I don't think you can look purely at the valuation as a listed company. Let's say when it's listed, you know the value, but also to get into being a listed company doesn't mean that you get the full amount. Upfront, and also in a listing environment, of course, we need also to consider all the kind of implications on liabilities and also the timing on this. So all in all, we grouped it together, and we still feel that this is a very good valuation, also in relation to a potential IPO.
All right. Okay. Just a small fourth question also. Does this include transaction costs, or is that going to come on top of this?
There will be some transaction costs hitting this, but we have not commented on this. But of course, there are going to be a few million euros of transaction costs.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Mats Liss from Swedbank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Okay. Hi. Thank you. Well, just a couple of questions there. First, the payments, when do you expect to receive the payment? Is it after 2 weeks now that you get the initial payment
The payment, of course, we're going to sign the agreement, but then there's a closing and we need to get some, we don't expect any kind of problems, but there need to be some filing for competition authorities on that. So best guess today that we're looking at mid-June, end June or something like that. That is really what we feel realistic that we're going to get paid.
Okay, great. And then coming up to this closure, has there been any other parties involved, or do you have been negotiating with Freudenberg only?
No, we've been looking at a variety of alternatives constantly for quite some time. So this has not been a kind of a sole discussion with Freudenberg. I mean, I should be perfectly honest. I mean, IPO has probably been the most realistic alternative, and that is what we've been comparing this with.
Oh, I meant this year or the last quarter. Have there been other interesting?
Oh yes. I mean, we've been discussing all the way up until we agreed with Freudenberg with several parties.
Okay, great. Then I guess you have you get some more cash in compared to an IPO, and your gearing will not be well. We'll be fine. So I guess there are room for making more moves here going forward in terms of acquiring companies. Are you prepared?
Of course, I mean, we feel with this deal and getting the cash more or less up front, of course, we get back immediately, even including the CGS acquisition. We'll get back to a decent gearing, which is opening up flexibility in terms of acquisition also going forward. So that we feel, of course, this is a once again, a clean and safe exit, which is immediately balancing our balance sheet and also taking into consideration the CGS impact. And also, I mean, this deal is also, I want to highlight also, of course, by shifting assets, let's say, from Trelleborg Vibe Acoustic into CGS, is of course that we get full access to the CGS cash flow. So the cash generation of Trelleborg will be substantially higher when having CDS on board and not having Trelleborg Vibe Acoustic on board. So that is also improving our possibility to use this cash, this increased cash, of course, in various ways going forward.
Okay. And just a final one about the CDS. Do you expect that to be closed during the second quarter now?
Yeah, and I mean, it was officially, the official application for approval was launched there end of March, and I mean, considering then they need 25 working days or something, so our best guess today is that going to be closed here in the first half of May.
Okay, great, thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Philip Serrano from Nomura. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, hi Peter, Ulf, Christopher. It's Felix Meenan from Nomura. Just two quick questions, please. In the release, you state that about the dividend that you received in 2015, and I just want to cross-check that that was part of your annual results already, so that's not something that we should expect in the cash flow statement for 16. Is that right?
No, that is included already, but we'll be highlighting that because that is, of course, hitting the enterprise value that the debt in the company is increasing. So that is why you need to suit that. But that's already included in the year-end fee.
Okay, perfect. And secondly, in the I think the CGS acquisition, you flagged that you wanted to reduce the net debt to EBITDA levels to pre-CGS levels within 12 months' time. With the proceeds now, is that something that you still think is achievable?
Yeah, no, we get close to that. If you perform, of course, that is including perform, but if you perform adjust everything, I guess, Ulf, I don't know, we're going to be slightly above 2, but I mean, yes, that is really what we're looking at the moment.
Yeah, bear in mind also that after we announced the CGS deal, we have made acquisitions.
Yeah, but basically we will be slightly above 2 on a pro forma basis.
That's excellent. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Douglas Lind from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Hi, Douglas.
Yes. Hi. Actually, all of my questions have already been answered, so I guess that's it for me.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question comes from Michael Bush from Swedbank. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Partly my question has been answered as well, but on the back of what my colleague Matt Bliss was discussing and asking, I was wondering, with the CGS transaction completing prior to the Wiber Acoustics disposal proceeds coming in, how do you intend to finance yourselves in the meantime?
We already have a solid, let's say, bridge financing in place, so that is no issue at all. I mean, it's running for several years if that is needed. So this month or two is no issue at all.
That's fine. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. And as a further reminder, if there are any other questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypads now. And we have another question from Erik Olsson from Pareto Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, this is Erik Paulsson from Pareto Securities. I just want to ask now in relation to the Q1 report here, and how should we look upon this in terms of reporting? Will this be including in numbers for Q1 or not?
So what we will do here is that we will then reclassify the TBV asset into asset held for sale. So that will be the same value as 31st of December 2015. And then we will then, previous year, we will then move it down to discontinued operations. So you will have a clean set of numbers of so asset held for sale and then previous year reported as a discontinued operation.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And as a further reminder to any other questions, please press 01 now. And all no further questions, I hand the conference back to you, speakers.
Okay, great. But then anyway, thank you for the interest. And of course, Christopher, myself, and Ulf is fully available for any potential follow-up questions later on. But as, once again, just summing up, we feel this is at the end of a successful journey where we have kind of developed the value within our automotive anti-vibration solutions together with Freudenberg. We're now exiting it at the stage where we have reached more or less the targeted levels and in a market environment where we feel is fairly good for automotive sub-suppliers, and that is why we feel very happy now to have concluded this at a good valuation from our point of view. And we're now shifting this asset into an asset in CGS, where we will be very happy to work on that and improve from that level, which is now more, as I focus, Trelleborg going forward. So thanks to all of you. And once again, if any questions, then don't hesitate to get back to Christopher primarily, but also to myself and Ulf. So thanks to all of you.